There are two supreme predators on the planet with the most complex brains in nature, humans and orcas. It is, in the 20th century alone, one of these animals killed 200 million members of its own species. The other one has killed none. Jeffrey Masson's new book begins here. There is something different about us. Jeffrey Masson is an ex-psychoanalyst and former director of the Freud Archives and is the author of numerous best-selling books on animal emotions, including Dogs Never Lie About Love and When Elephants Weep. His new book is Beasts, What Animals Can Teach Us About the Origins of Good and Evil. Jeffrey Masson, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. What got you thinking about this, in particular, of what animals can teach us about good and about evil?
Well, I guess it was what you just quoted. I was astonished by that. I live in New Zealand, and the world's expert on orcas lives there as well. And I went to see her one day, and we were talking about whether orcas have ever killed a human in the wild, and the answer was no, which I knew. But then I got to thinking, well, how often do they kill each other? And I asked her, and she stopped and was puzzled and said, well, to be honest, I don't think anyone knows of a single instance where an orca killed another orca in the wild. And that just blew me away. How could that be? Here are the two top predators on Earth, and one kills its kind every single day by the thousands, and the other never.
Is it, and so, as I mentioned in the introduction, that's where you begin, and it's, there's something different about us. So what does that ultimately say about us?
Well, it says that we are probably the most violent species on the planet. And that goes against everything we were ever taught. You know, we're taught, and that's why we called it beasts. Oh, he's acting like a beast. Or yesterday in the New York Times, I saw somebody compare humans he didn't like to wolves. But in fact, it's the other way around. We're the ones that are behaving in this vicious, murderous, cruel way, and other animals do not. And I thought you were going to ask something at the beginning about inhibition. It suddenly reminded me, something I didn't put in the book, that we seem to lack this inhibition that other species, some of them at least, have against killing their own. We don't find it difficult to kill other human beings, but orcas obviously have some built-in inhibition, some law that says you do not kill your own.
Hmm. And what do you think that is, in the sense of, we now, let's say most of us do not do this, although the numbers that you present in the book certainly are troubling, and we look at our culture and we see those numbers as troubling. But of what it is scientifically that allows, I guess I should put it that the species, whether it be an orca or another species, that would not kill its own. What do they have that we don't? What is it?
Yeah, well, that is the question, isn't it? Is it something biological? In other words, are they just born with the knowledge you never ever aggress against your own kind? Or is it something they learn from their culture? After all, I don't think any human is born a killer, nor do I believe they're born saints. So I believe that certainly for humans, this is something we learn. And unfortunately, part of what we learn as we grow up is this us-them distinction. And you can see it often in benign ways. I know that I was growing up as a young Jewish boy in Los Angeles, and my mother would constantly talk about people who were Jews and non-Jews. She even had a word. She said they're MOTs, members of the tribe. And, it was tribal. That's what it was. And we have this, I say it's often benign because you see it with teams. You know, we're the Reds and they're the Blacks, or,
right.
You know, we see it in sports, but we also see it leading to murder with racism, with gender discrimination, with ethnic discrimination. So it seems that somehow we're not absorbing this lesson that we are all one species, one human species.
You point out in the book, and I think it's interesting, how ultimately in doing this we shortchange ourselves with this narrow view of community.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the problem, that the community can, I mean, if you read enough novels, you realize the community can be narrowed down to a particular family, where the family thinks it's us against them, just our family against every other family. And then that expands into it's our community, and finally it's our nation, and that's what leads us to go to war. And the shortchanging, of course, is that we all suffer when we go to war, everyone.
The subtitle of the book is What Animals Can Teach Us About the Origins of Good and Evil. So knowing this and knowing that the statistic that we started off with, that using orcas as an example, that they don't kill their own, so what can we learn from that? What can they teach us about the origins of good and evil?
Well, I think we can, you know, one of the things we've never done is we've never looked at animals for that kind of instruction, for that kind of moral view. We've done the opposite. We've always looked to see, well, how is it that we can behave like animals? So I think we now have to reverse that and look at animals and say, what is it we can learn so that we can be more like them? What allows them this kind of species solidarity that we seem to be lacking? And then we have to ask, where did it come from? Why are we like that? And I think here, although in the book I make several suggestions, I don't think we really know. But surely something of that has to do with the fact that we domesticated animals. You know, I was reading recently Brian Davis, who's probably the world's leading authority on slavery, and he believes, and I certainly would agree with him, that the origins of slavery have to do with the origins of domestication.
Mm.
That is, we started domesticating animals, forcing them to do things they didn't want to do, and that gave humans the idea, well, we could do this to other humans as well. But, of course, you could ask, where did that disinhibition come from? Whatever gave people the notion that they could do this, regardless of where they saw the example? And I think there the answer is not only domesticating animals, but domesticating nature. We had the beginnings of agriculture. For many people, that was the beginning of the downfall of the human species.
Although that domestication of some animals has worked for us.
It has worked for two animals only, really.
Yes.
Well,
cats
yes.
and dogs.
So when you say for us, I think you have to include them as well. And in that case, I think the only time it has ever worked is for dogs and cats.
Right. And that is because they could be, and much like, you know, it's a species that allows itself to be domesticated, right? I mean, there are the things there.
Well, it's more than that. Yes, that's perfectly true. You're right. They do allow it. In fact, they may have created the conditions.
Right.
It's very possible now that dogs chose and cats chose to throw their lot in with us. But I think it's also true that right from the beginning, we treated them more like family than any other animal.
So how do we get away from this notion that we are more scared of the shark on the beach than we are of our neighbor?
Yes, it's interesting that Peter Benchley, before he died, realized that in writing Jaws and in the filming of Jaws, that he had made that terrible reversal. The real danger were the humans to the sharks, not sharks to humans. And he said, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to undoing the harm I've done. And he became a tremendous activist and conservationist for sharks.
So do you think it is possible to reverse that, to ultimately allow these animals to teach us?
I think it is. I don't think it's, you know, something that's going to happen tomorrow or you know, probably in my lifetime. But I think sooner or later, we will have to absorb those lessons. I think that we're beginning. I'm amazed. You know, I'm a vegan. I don't eat any animal or animal product. And the reason for that is because of the way I feel about animals, that they have a lot to teach me. So it would be ungrateful for me to then slaughter them and ingest them. But I think the world is slowly coming to that. I mean, I'm amazed. I've just come to the United States yesterday from New Zealand. But already I can see a tremendous difference in the last couple of years in, oh, I would say the whole Western world, but probably leading in the United States, the number of people who've chosen this very path to say, no, I'm not going to eat animals anymore, because I believe, and I think people don't even realize it, but I think people do understand they have something very important to teach us, and you don't kill your teachers.
The name of the book is Beasts, What Animals Can Teach Us About the Origins of Good and Evil. It is published by Bloomsbury. Jeffrey, thank you very much for spending time with us. Safe travels, and I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
Thanks so much. It's
thank
been
you
a pleasure.
Very much. Jeffrey Messon.
Bye
is the,
now.
Goodbye. Jeffrey Messon is the author of Beasts. It's published by Bloomsbury. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.